Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Wow.
Hello and welcome to the Abroad in Japan podcast, probably the best way of learning about life in Japan without actually being in Japan. I'm your host, Chris Broad, and we're joined, as always, by England's top Japan enthusiast, Mr. Pete Donaldson. Pete, how are you doing today?
Howdy. I'm a little less enthused by the level of quality of coffee I'm drinking on the Sunday show because I've gone back to the powdered kind of freeze-dried stuff that I bought from the supermarket. They say, apparently, right, to improve really bitter coffee that tastes like absolute turd, you add a bit of salt, would you believe? I watch this man on, it gets served up to my Facebook algorithm quite a lot because I'm old. A man who, he's just sort of basically talking about coffee. He reviews coffee and coffee machines and stuff like that. And he's got this very sort of soft voice who sort of, so the pressure in the valve needs to be at a certain bar level. And he sort of like whispers through it. And he's got a lovely, lovely manner about him. But oh my God, he's a discerning coffee drinker. An absolute deviant. Have a Nescafe and shut up.
I mean, I do love coffee and I drink it a lot, but I don't drink the best coffee. I drink Nespresso, you know, the capsules, because I'm lazy and my apartment won't fit a proper coffee machine. God forbid. But can you hear this, Pete? Do you know what that noise is?
I don't know.
That is my coffee advent calendar, as discussed last week. Every day.
Hello.
Instead of chocolate, I get a capsule of coffee from Nespresso. And today, day five or whatever it is oh, I can't even remember. It's like Italian. Ispirazio. Oh, I can't. I'm going to screw it up.
Ispirazio. It's like
the inspiration of Venice.
Ah,
how do you say that in Italian? Ispirazione Venezia. And I trashed.
Spirito de Santo, the football manager.
Oh, really? It's like that. It tastes like
it. Yeah, it's like that, is it? Right.
It's very nice, though. Little capsule.
Lovely.
To be fair, I'd probably rather have chocolate. Man, this week we've been bombarded with messages and posts from you guys across all forms of social media, Twitter and Instagram, most notably, from listeners who have been listening to the Abroad Japan podcast, and it's their number one most listened to podcast on Spotify. I think it's a Spotify thing. Have you had this as well, Pete, or is it just me?
Oh, yeah, I've been bombarded. And I cannot, I literally can't get back to everybody because I'm on four different podcasts and I can't get back to everybody. And I want to get back to everybody, but I just want to say a big thanks to everyone who's got in touch about their Spotify end of year list.
And it's, you know, really humbling. I hope the day comes when we can actually do some sort of physical event and actually meet a lot of you guys. Like P and I, we've been doing this for 2.5 years now. I've done over 100 podcast episodes and we have a pretty loyal listenership, right? Tens of thousands of listeners tune in every week for this podcast around the world, but mostly in Sweden, as we've established over the years. Don't know why, don't know how, but thank you to our listeners in Sweden. But thank you to all of you for tuning into the Abroad in Japan podcast. We enjoy doing it, and there's certainly no shortage of stories and news coming out of Japan that we can cover each week. And certainly next year, when the concept of airplanes and fun becomes a thing again, Pete can come over and we could do something fun. Isn't that right, Pete? We're going to have fun, aren't we?
Yes, I keep on sort of going, I mean, I should, as soon as it opens, I should just jump on like a really cheap Air China flight and have a weekend. Change in Beijing.
I wouldn't recommend Air China. I know somebody who had a very bad experience. Maybe don't fly with them. They're very cheap, though. You're
Are very, very cheap. 300, 400 quid. I imagine air travel will be very expensive next year.
Yeah, I mean, that'll be quite interesting and disappointing to see somebody who has to fly around a lot. But do you think the prices of airplanes will go up? What's going
to
happen?
I think they have to. I mean, I've got a British Airways American Express card, and one of the major kind of pros of using that particular card is that every year, if you use a certain amount on your credit card, you get a free kind of companion voucher, like a travel voucher. So you you pay for one ticket, you know, no matter what class it is, and then they give you an extra one free. It's very quite restrictive about which places you can go and what dates you can actually do it on, but this time around they've been very quiet on awarding me that this year, so I'm fairly certain they're going to be very restrictive about what you can use air miles for. I think it's going to be a very, very different state of play. I think it's going to be an expensive discipline, but I don't think it's going to discourage any people from doing it.
Well, if you are a listener who works in the airline industry or a pilot who knows what's going to happen, let us know at abroadinjapanpodcast@gmail.com. I hope there is a pilot out there who listens to the Abroad in Japan podcast, albeit hopefully not while flying. That would be very bad. Well, but also good, because you could play it over the overhead speakers and people could... No, bad idea. All right. Story of the week. We've got a story here from Andrew Harvey. Now, Andrew Harvey, you might recall, about a month ago, Andrew messaged us with a story about how his dad was traveling in Hokkaido on a train, struck up a conversation with a nice American chap called Stephen, and they became friends, and then they became pen pals. And this was in the 1970s. And a few years later, it turned out this nice chap, Steve, that he'd met on the train was none other than Steven Spielberg.
Yes.
That's pretty cool. That is a story. But Andrew has another story. He's full of stories. He should write a book, because this one's a cracker as well. And it begins, "Hi, Chris from Abroad in Japan, and Pete, who was voted most likely to be strangled by his pet python during a boathouse holiday." What's that from?
I'm not sure, to be honest. I'll take it, though.
What? I thought there was some sort of thing I'd missed there, but no. Is that likely to be strangled
I think he's just doing a bit. I'm in for it. I'm in for Andrew's little bit.
To be fair, that is the sort of thing that you would do, get strangled by a pet python on a boathouse holiday. Now, you might remember me from the Steven Spielberg story. And as I mentioned in my last email, I was born and raised in Japan. I went to high school in Ibaraki Prefecture, just north of Tokyo. And I was in my high school rugby team. I was never very good at rugby, but my parents were from New Zealand, so my schoolmates automatically assumed I would be good as well, but I wasn't. Anyway, our manager didn't come to practice one night, and towards the end of practice, she called our team captain in a panic. Apparently, she was cornered in a bar in Mito, the city of Mito in Ibaraki, by a chimpira, a shady Yakuza-type character. She had spilled a drink on him at the bar that she was working at, and he was threatening her and asking her to pay apology payment of an extortionate amount, or worse, she would have to work for him. We decided we would put together an impromptu posse of rugby boys and headed over to Mito's red light district to save our manager from the clutches of this dastardly hoodlum. One of the posse had a dad who owned a bar in Mito and paid the local protection racket. And this was in the early 1990s, when protection money still existed. We got the name of the local big Yakuza boss of the area, and furnished with his name, we decided we would confront the hoodlum and scare him away. We entered the store, and sure enough, he was there in the corner with our manager, who was sobbing away. Our captain stepped forward and boldly proclaimed that the girl was under the protection of the aforementioned Yakuza boss, and as such, we would be taking her home. After a moment's contemplation, the hoodlum quietly looked up and said, "I'm that Yakuza boss." Uh-oh. Oh, God. That night, we were the fastest rugby posse in Japan as we ran out of the bar and into the Mito night. It later transpired that after giving free drinks for the rest of the night, the Yakuza boss got so inebriated that the whole thing was forgotten, and it was all a bit of a storm in a teacup. Needless to say, the manager was not very happy with our performance that night. Anyway, love the podcast, guys. Keep up the good work. Andrew Harvey, Yakuza I mean, good God, what a story!
I mean, that is like a level in Yakuza, isn't it? It's very much I am the boss. I am the boss of. I am in the employ of a Yakuza boss. You know, that's actually me. It's like, ah, fuck! Out of all the ones you could have chosen,
I'm the boss. No, I'm the boss. Oh shit! That's hilarious. I would like to think that's that wonderful. Another level in the Yakuza games would be to meet Steven Spielberg on a train in Hokkaido. Interact
again.
With him.
Again, yeah.
The sort of wonderful. weird side quest or mini game you do get in the Yakuza series, right? Fantastic. It's interesting, though. A lot of the stories we've heard about Yakuza over the years from both listeners of the podcast and friends that I know, like the Yakuza seem to have more or less just faded away in the last decade. I know the Japanese government had a massive crackdown on them. It made it very difficult to live as a Yakuza in Japan, do banking or anything really. And that made it to the point that it was just so unpleasant to be a Yakuza that people just abandoned it. The numbers dropped from 100,000 to I think maybe 10,000 today. But in the 90s and 80s, it seems there's still a lot of kind of stories and things happening. You've never crossed paths with the Yakuza at all, have you, Pete?
No, and I probably wouldn't know what to look out for, to be quite frank. I think probably all the Yakuzas have probably turned into their backup job of becoming politicians. but no, I have no idea what I'd be. I had no idea what I'd be looking for, to be honest. Apart from the fingers,
smartly dressed suits and tattoos that are often quite visible. But certainly in areas like Kabukicho and Shinjuku, it's not hard to spot people that fit the bill. But yeah, I don't know. I don't know what the future holds for the Yakuza, but I don't think it's particularly a shiny one. And I think it's probably a good thing. And I'm glad the manager was eventually saved from the place, not because of the rugby lads and their bravery, but in fact by virtue of the fact the Yakuza boss himself just got drunk, very, very drunk, and forgot about it. Brilliant. Fantastic stuff.
Brilliant.
Now, last week we had a story, news story about Kit Kats. Our favourite topic, we cover it at least once a year. It's up there with bears. Yep. It's the most popular topic on the podcast. And we had a Kit Kat that was from, it involved, what was it? Whiskey barrel aged
cacao nibs. Cacao nibs aged in whiskey barrels and then turned into Kit Kats. Delicious.
Aged for 180 days, right? It's pretty elaborate. Pretty hardcore stuff.
Yes.
This week we've got another food story involving instant ramen. One of Japan's greatest exports to the world. Instant ramen with 40 billion lactic acid bacteria now on sale. God, sounds pretty grim.
Wow.
So, with so many kind of varieties of instant noodles on the market, it's hard to stand out. And if you walk down a supermarket in Japan, you know, there's no shortage of ramen, instant ramen. And I always go for the same one. You know, despite all the sheer diversity, always go for cup noodle. Always go for the original. But one company, Meisei, has been trying to increase sales. They've created this new kimchi ramen. And on the front of the ramen, it's got 40 billion written with zeros, which looks a bit comical and ridiculous. And they claim that the soup is this ramen is brilliant because it's got 40 billion lactic acid bacteria in it. Released on 23rd. Of November, the spicy soup is hoping to cash in on the wild popularity of other lactic acid bacteria-rich Japanese products. It's 230 yen, which is about $2.20. And apparently it doesn't taste overly great, and it doesn't look overly great either. It looks like a bloodbath. The contents were underwhelmingly similar to a regular instant noodle kit with dried noodles, toppings, and sauces, and it looks thoroughly normal. But it's the sort of lengths these companies go to sell their products and give them a healthy edge. Trying to make bloody instant noodles healthy, that's a daunting task, isn't it, Pete?
I think lactic acid it may be a big part of those isotonic drinks you find in Japan, like the Pocari Sweats and stuff. I think that's got a lot of lactic acid in it, and also it's made for like it's in everything, all those yogurts and sour beers and stuff like that you find in Belgium. And yeah, it sounds like a pretty useful thing, but I think that the amount that it seems to be sort of going for in this fucking noodle dish is a little excessive.
Just a bit. I think you get lactic acid in my beloved cow piss, the yogurt drink, right, which I so lovingly drink every
good
week.
Good for the tum-tum.
Good for the stomach, allegedly. And I love the way these companies take relatively unhealthy products like ramen or gummy sweets in Japan, right? They come with lots of collagen added into them, which is supposed to be good for the skin. And they sort of say, oh, you know, have these gummy sweets. They're good for you because it's good for your skin. And in the same way, right, with this instant ramen, which is just a bowl of salt, effectively, it's good for you now because it's got some kimchi in it. So, yeah. And like they've, the way they've marketed that by writing 40 billion on the front with all these zeros, a bit over the top. And what was the, didn't you have some chewing gum as well that was healthy or good for you? I remember you. You love your Japanese chewing gum.
Yeah, no, I have Black Black, which has got caffeine in it. It's not good for me. It's got caffeine in it. There's very little chewing gum, presumably, that is good for you. But yeah, no, my Black Black chewing gum, it's this kind of like horrible black colour. And it's just got loads of caffeine in it. And you just feel a bit wired after it.
Doesn't it stain your teeth black as well?
Not necessarily. Nah, I think that's a bit of a Black Black misnomer. from the Wrigley's Corporation.
What else is there, though? I'm trying to think of... Pocari Sweat has always billed itself as a medicinal kind of drink, and that is made by Otsuka Pharmaceuticals, which are a pharmaceutical company, to be fair. Pocari Sweat's good, though, and it's very useful in summer. Always have it
on
hand.
Well, we sort of see, like, in every sort of supermarket, in every sort of off-license, you see just rack after rack of these kind of, like, energy, vitamin drinks and stuff like that. So the self-care kind of drink industry is obviously a massive one. So, moving into ramen, it's obviously a very unhealthy thing. So if they can add anything that sounds a little bit healthy, even though, you know, congealed fat and flour in the ramen, probably not that healthy. But I think if it can add anything else in that makes it makes the consumer sort of go, oh, maybe I need something that's a bit more healthy. But I mean, is it really healthy? I think anything with that amount of numbers is the sort of thing you would give someone with like blood loss or something. It's like that he needs a million billion, you know, units of this medicine.
Well, if you look at a photo of this ramen, and if you just type in instant ramen with 40 billion lactic acid, it'll come up somewhere. It looks like blood loss because it's a bright red, horrible looking bowl. Going along the similar vein of like healthy things that aren't actually healthy, there's also CC Lemon, right? Remember CC Lemon? It's just a can of lemonade, basically.
Lemony drink.
It's the sugariest drink I've ever had. Imagine Coca-Cola, but with even more sugar. And that is CC Lemon.
That's
isn't
it?
And it's got 30 lemons.
I mean, that's... Has it really, though? Has it just... Right, okay. It's got the same sugar as 30 lemons, presumably. Yeah, I mean, those kind of drinks, you do sort of see a lot of... you see in a lot of video games. See, anything a little bit Japanese, you'll pick up like an energy drink and stuff. That's probably why, like, you know, special portions and stuff hold such a thing in those kind of Japanese sort of Dark Souls games, because in the modern version, you can buy on every street corner.
Inspired by drinks in Japan. Yeah, no... CC Lemon, you got to try it once, though. You get, it says on the can, like 33 lemons worth of vitamin C. And I love that. I always just picture some poor man in a room somewhere at CC Lemon headquarters
grinding out lemons,
painstakingly squeezing the lemon into a can. Obviously, it's not that, but I wish it was. I really do. But yeah, I think I'm going to have to do a video at some point. I've always kind of steered clear of doing food and drink videos. It feels like really low-hanging fruit, if you know what I mean? Like, stuff that's too easy to do as a YouTuber.
Come on.
I can't do it.
Give the people what they want. Give the people what they want. I've always said that.
It is, though, isn't it? It's low-hanging fruit. Yeah. Maybe I'll do it. I'm desperate now. Now the journey across Japan is over, I have no content.
You need some easy wins.
Yeah. Me sitting in a room. Imagine that. I've spent, like, all this time, all these weeks producing a 6-part series with lovely drone shots and sweeping shots of Mount Fuji. And then the next episode is just me in a room chugging away on CC Lemon, drinking cow piss and having instant ramen with 40 billion lactic acid in it. 40 billion lactic acid bacteria, sorry. That is the video. That is the level.
I mean, don't get sniffy about it. Look, plenty of Japanese-based YouTubers have built careers on this kind of caper.
All of them have. I don't think most of them have, my experience.
Yeah. Well, yeah, your big one was like KFC at Christmas and stuff, wasn't it?
It was. KFC at Christmas, McDonald's, chocolate fries. That went super viral. That was really depressing. Yeah, I have a lot of, to be fair, yeah, I'm warming to the idea very quickly now. Easy win. Easy winning. And also at Christmas, you get a lot more ad revenue money, apparently.
Oh, is that right? Oh, because people are selling more stuff. Right,
yeah,
I see.
You get an extra $5. Yay. But no, Japan's many healthy foods. I don't know if any of you guys have any in particular that you enjoy when you're over here in Japan, like a drink or a food or a dish that is actually unhealthy but bills itself as having some sort of health benefits. It's a very interesting kind of very interesting part of the market. Keen to hear your thoughts on things that you like to enjoy when you're over in Japan.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that? I can't even remember. Yeah.
You do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I actually got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad was thinking of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know.
And then we're way around a duck.
So if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? Mine's pretty low after coming back from the craziness of WrestleMania, too many body slams and all that. And I'm pretty jealous of my co-host Chris, who seems to have been exploring Japan's most isolated hotel. He's definitely winning in the relaxation race, but I'm determined to catch up with him. It can be easy to get swept up in social gatherings and spread ourselves too thin, but with therapy, you can learn to prioritize your time and recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online and designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/Japan today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/Japan.
Join us for a very Clash of the Titles Christmas, because we're doing what every family does at this time of year. Arguing about which film is better. We've proof this pod is good for your elf, as Elf takes on Santa Claus the Movie.
With Santa Claus the Movie, for years, I couldn't walk past a slice of ham without reaching for it like a grubby
street urchin.
Yeah, swear to God.
We're doing that festive thing of overindulging in sweet stuff. It's The Holiday versus Love Actually.
I've never seen women apologise so much for being women as in The Holiday.
And yes, they are Christmas movies. We've got Die Hard versus Lethal Weapon.
I'm so bored of that question, so let's flip it. Is Christmas a Die Hard movie?
That's Clash of the Titles this December. Listen on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods. New episodes every Monday and Thursday.
Clash of the Titles is a Stakhanov production.
Merry Christmas!
Now we turn our attention to the fax machine. What have we got this week in the fax machine, Mr. Dawson?
We've got an email from Hajar. Hello, Hajar. Hi, Chris and Pete. I'm a fan of your videos and podcasts. Thank you for all the hard work you put into it. I listen to them on my way to work every day during this pandemic. Well, have a great day at work, Hajar. Touching on the topic of people getting defensive over Japanese people, I'd like to share my experience on interacting with them during my vacation there last year. I received help from the most helpful of them and had other experiences, which was downright unsavoury. On the first part, I've lost my internal dongle. Oh, sorry. I've lost my internal dongle. Good lord. Clip that. I've lost my internet dongle in an electronics store in Akihabara at a level that sells dongles and remote controls. At first, I lost all hope of finding it, but my sister, bless her, took the time to use Google Translator to explain to the staff of my missing internet dongle. Lo and behold, 15 minutes later, the helpful staff found it in a shop that also sells dongles. They've managed to find the needle dongle in the haystack dongle, so to speak. I was amazed, says Ajar. Then another experience was at the far end of the spectrum. I went to one of those famous crepe stores in Harajuku on my final days of the trip. I decided to spend my remaining coins for it. When it was my turn, I could see the cashier's face turn sour. I did not know whether it was the fact that I'm wearing a hijab, I'm a Muslim, or it was the audacity of me offering her coins instead of paper money. She rudely demanded paper money, and when she finished preparing my crepes, proceeded to shove it in my hand. I was shocked by that act. For a person that romanticizes Japan, that experience kind of changed my view. I know for a fact Japan is okay with all religions, but have you ever heard a Japanese person acting otherwise to a specific culture or religion? I hope the act of using coins, even the smallest of change, is not rude to them. Appreciate your wisdom, Chris and Pete. Stay safe and happy. Your Malaysian fan, Hajar. Lovely part of the world, Malaysia.
Well, I mean, first things first, I love the phrase internal dongle. That's how did you get to
it's
that?
It's my
thing?
Internal dongle. I don't know.
What goes on in your mind? Lovely. Lord. Glad you found that dongle, though. That's such a surreal situation to lose your dongle in a place that
in
sells
dongle.
Dongles.
Shop, yeah.
That could be a great metaphor. It's like losing a dongle in a dongle shop.
I've lost my fish in the sea.
Good God. But as to the mild racism, or I mean, it might not be racism. It might just be a disgruntled person.
Yeah.
You know, Harajuku.
I mean, people are dicks. are dicks, and also Harajuku is a tourist trap.
It is. And what confuses me about this story is you pay for a crepe with paper money? Like, she wanted paper money for crepes? Like, crepes, I'm not a crepe expert, but if I were a crepe expert, I would imagine a crepe would cost about 200 yen, somewhere in that region.
Probably a bit more. In Harajuku, I think it's probably, I think you'd be looking at 600 yen. I think it's a,
all right.
It's, they are girthy. Girthy boys.
Girthy crepe, 600 yen.
Yeah.
But that's still a transaction that would be done with coins, is it not? You know, coins, 500 yen coin. Mm. Why does that need to be cash? It doesn't make sense. Yeah. Why would the woman be angry? Must be a very inefficient and crappy bloody crepe stand. Very surreal.
Yeah.
But I don't know. Honestly, I don't know. I don't know if I have any Muslim friends in Japan, so I can't speak on their behalf. I can't speak from their experiences. But I would be interested to find out if it is an issue being a Muslim in Japan. But I think it was just a shit person at a crepe stand, to be honest, Tajar. So I wouldn't take it too personally that time. It's just a crappy person. I will go to the crepe stands of Harajuku the next time I'm in Tokyo, and I will find this person, send us a follow-up email, let me know where it was, and I'll go and do a video there. We'll expose them.
expose them.
Expose the crepe twat. We've got Annalise. Annalise from Ontario says, hello, Chris and Pete. Earlier today, I got the call. Got the call from Jet that I've been upgraded from the alternate candidate list to the shortlist. Assuming everything goes to plan, I depart in April 2021. Wow, that's a very odd time of year to go. But I'm guessing the whole Jet program teaching thing is messed up, what with old COVID. I'm ecstatic to return to Japan. I visited twice for vacation. I had a blast each time, but I'm assuming things will be a bit different with the pandemic still ongoing. My main concern, however, is this. Are the onsen hot springs closed? That's your main concern.
That's the big one.
Given how Canada, where I live, is handling things, I couldn't imagine a public bathhouse being open at the moment. But the first thing I want to do when I get to Japan is get out of self-isolation, find an onsen and steam myself inside for a couple of hours. In a more general sense, how is Japan handling the pandemic now that the second wave is in full swing? Sorry if this has been asked already. I'm currently catching up on listening, but I'm so excited. I needed to ask now. Thank you so much for your time. All the best, Annalise from Ontario. And she says, P.S. Pete, this summer, the beer store started selling the Bud Light Chelada. Bud Light Chelada, which isn't actually a chelada. It's simply beer mixed with Clamato, clam-flavoured tomato juice. Just thought I'd let you know. What the hell's that? Clam-flavoured tomato juice.
I think it's in reference to my love of red eye, and of course, in a lot of parts of America, they have that sort of Mexican drink, which is clamato. So it's like clam flavored tomato juice with a bit of spice in there. Absolutely delicious. I mean, the least delicious part of that drink is the Bud Light, I would say.
Yeah, definitely. Nice one, Bud Light Chelada.
Lovely.
Onsen are open, to be honest, Annalise. They're all open, and there's no changes there. I mean, we are in the second wave, but the country seems to be under control at the moment. The cases kind of go up and down, but they haven't been going sort of perpetually up. They're relatively stable. So we say second wave by the standards of other countries in Europe and the US and Americas.
Yeah.
Japan has fared very well. For many reasons.
It's all right, Chris. This morning, the transport secretary said that high-value individuals may travel back from wherever they are, and they don't have to isolate because they are high-value individuals. Wow. I'm not going to be political. I'm just saying we kind of knew this sort of thing went on anyway. But to hear a transport minister sort of go, well, if you are involved in a deal, it's basically a deal that if you come back and you don't have to self-isolate, if you are involved in a deal that is going to bring in something like £100,000 worth of business. And it's like, how did deals get made? I'm sure it's more than one trip to, you know, bag a $100,000 deal or whatever. It just seems like a bit of a get out for all the rich individuals on their private jets.
Could I be a high worth individual?
Well, exactly. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah. Bring back some Kit Kats, make some serious deals. Yeah. Like sell some Kit Kats and bacteria ramen and make a hefty profit.
Import some fancy matcha latte Kit Kats.
Wonder how much that would be worth. Imagine that. That would be a dire career path for me, flogging Kit Kats in the streets of London that I've imported from Japan on a British Airways flight.
I like the image.
Let's do it. But no, don't worry, Annalise. It's all open. It's fine. It's good. Come over, bring your Bud Light Chelada, have a great time. And best of luck with the Jet program in April 2021. You're coming over at a bloody nice time. Cherry Blossom will be all in full bloom. It'll be magical. And hopefully around then, Japan will start reopening as well. One from Kimberly, which is over to you, Pete.
Hello, Kimberly. To round off the show, hi, Crisp and Peach. Just wanted to say congrats on finally meeting or seeing Mount Fuji with your own eyes. It's been a long time coming, sounds like. It was also nice to see Kawaguchi in your video. And a trip that never happened back in October 2020, I was planning to visit both Kawaguchi and the British theme park that you and Joey had a selfie battle in, which I think you won, though Joey had some good submissions. Hopefully next year I'll be able to visit. My question for you, though, is there anywhere in Japan that after 8 years you still haven't been to but would love to visit? Same question to Pete, minus the 8 years. Thanks for the hours of entertainment. Kimberly from London. Ben?
Oh, good question. There's a few places on my end. Large swathes of Hokkaido, particularly kind of in the east. I haven't seen much of Hokkaido or the north part of Hokkaido. I haven't seen most of Kyushu. I know I went there for Journey Across Japan, but I kind of rushed through it and didn't get to appreciate it. So I'd love to go there. And also the island of Aogashima, which is registered as being part of Tokyo, even though it's like 1,000 miles south of Tokyo. And it's an island that is essentially just a volcano, and everyone lives in the crater of the volcano. And it looks like a Bond villain's lair. It is insane. I've never seen anywhere quite like it. Aogashima, Aogashima. Go and look it up, and it'll blow you away. I'm not joking. It is insane, and I'd love to go there. I think you've got to get a helicopter ride and a boat ride, and it looks a little bit scary to get there. But I do believe Only in Japan, the YouTube channel Only in Japan, did do an episode there. So you can watch that. And that looks really quite impressive. So Aogashima, Hokkaido, Kyushu, and also bits of Shikoku. I haven't explored bits of Shikoku. And the sand dunes. Love to do the sand dunes. Love to take Natsuki and stick Natsuki on a camel, because they do have camels there in the sand dunes in Tottori. And I just want to see Natsuki on a camel, just riding a camel across a sand dune. That's what I live for. Would you enjoy watching that, Pete?
I would. I'd like to see you in a helicopter. Scary.
I don't want to be in a helicopter, because unlike a plane, if the engines get buggered in a plane, you can kind of glide down. If the engine in a helicopter gets buggered, it's not going to end well. So I'm a little bit, don't know how I feel about helicopters, but got it for YouTube at some point, haven't I? But what about you, Pete? Anywhere in Japan you haven't visited after 8 years that you really want to?
I really want to go to the northernmost bit of Hokkaido to have a look at Russia. So
why? Why?
I just want to. It just looks absolutely like the end of the universe.
The end of the universe. It's funny you should bring it up, actually. Ryotaro, just this week, right now, as we're recording this, I believe he's stepping off a plane at Sapporo Chitose Airport, and he's driving all the way to the northern tip of Hokkaido. He's going for one night to make a video for his beloved channel, Ryotaro's Japan, and then he's coming all the way back again. Ridiculous. What is it? What is with Ryotaro and his silly, like, one-day journeys, his one-night, one-day trip? Like, God, but it'll be interesting to see how it is. I wouldn't want to go there at winter, though. I think it's minus 20 degrees Celsius, so how would you fare? How would you fare in those sort of temperatures?
I don't think I have a very good time, to be honest. I can barely deal with the weather here at the moment. It's bloody freezing.
I don't think I could do it. But who knows? One day. But Aogashima, certainly on the list. Go and check it out. Have you seen Aogashima, by the way? You know what I'm talking about, right? The volcano island.
I don't think I have, actually, no.
It's a very Pete Donaldson-style place. It's the sort of place I'd imagine you going, because it's very kind of surreal and bizarre. Maybe we can go together. Maybe we can make it happen next year. Maybe we can actually have some things to look forward to in 2021. It's getting very close now. Keep the stories, questions, comments coming in to abroadjapanpodcast@gmail.com. We'll be back next week, still all over again, guys. But for now, no matter where you might be, out there in the big wide world, enjoy the next few days, and we'll see you on Wednesday.
Yes.
Yeah, Wednesday.
Let's get out of here.
Let's roll. Bye.
A Stakhanov production.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. Hello? Fresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that? I can't even remember. Yeah,
you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I actually got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, mate.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. And then we're way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.